Today is April 11, 2016. My name is Khadija Murray, and I'm here with Mrs. Betsy Davis. So, Mrs. Davis, can you start off by telling me a little bit about your childhood?
Okay. I was born here in Chapel Hill. Went to Lincoln High School, which was a black school at that time. Elementary and high school there. I am the third of four children. I'm that middle child, so if you know anything about that, you know. When I was growing up, I was interested in the band. During the summer, I worked at the university in housekeeping to make money to go to school. And at that time, we didn't have any McDonald's or Hardee's or any of that, so that was it. Or the hospital was new at that time, too, so they were employing people as dietary aides, you know, to help get the meals out to on the floor to the patients. Then I played in the band. I was very interested in home economics, and I think that was one of the reasons when I went to Hampton, I majored in foods and nutrition with emphasis in dietetics. Okay. And my two older sisters went to NCCU, and my younger brother went to ANTI. But my dad was we called them janitors then, they called them custodians now, but he was on the staff at UNC. And at that time, that wasn't a real bad job for us.
Did you have a very strong relationship with your siblings?
My oldest sister is, and let's see, Ruth is 2 years. So she's about 6 or 7 years older. So she was always the one that was in charge. Because my mom did some work. And so, but my sister that's 2 years older than I, she and I have a strong relationship. Now, I don't have a very strong relationship with my brother, and I think that's because he was the only boy, and everybody catered to him. So I just didn't like that attention that he got. Being honest.
Can you tell me about your high school experience?
I enjoyed high school. The thing I didn't like about it, in a small community, many of the same teachers teach your older sisters, and when they get to you, they expect you to be a carbon copy of them. And I just refused to walk in those footsteps. So when we did get new teachers that I'd say that accepted me as who I was, I always did a better job for them than I did for the ones who compared me to my other sisters. But, you know, I often tell people, I didn't realize I was poor until I went to the School of Public Health. And they say, well, if you're in a family of four and you make this amount of money, you'll be below poverty. I said, well, isn't this something? All my life, I've lived this way. But the thing is, everybody in your neighborhood had the same. So nobody, you know, felt poor. And if they didn't have, you shared what you had. But with my boys going to Chapel Hill High, that's a different environment. And I, you know, was talking to them once. I said, you know, you all never said to me, Mom, why can't we go to the beach or go to the mountain? Because, you know, the other kids were taking trips during the breaks. And I was working, my husband was working, so we had to find someone to keep them. They could either go to my parents or his parents. But they didn't get the same kind of experience as the other kids, but they never complained.
What type of extracurriculars were you involved in?
In high school? Mm-hmm. I did the band.
Okay, mm-hmm. Just the band.
Mm-hmm. And I worked with the basketball team's statistician. Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about that?
What, working with
the statistician?
Oh, keeping the records, mm-hmm. and making sure that the right people were on the list, those who were going to start, and then when they substituted one person for the other, make sure that they were in line and their names were given to the officials and everything.
So that's, you have fun doing that?
I enjoyed the people. allergies, I'm sorry.
It's a minor.
It's kind of warm. So my husband's outside. I may cut the heat down a little. He likes it hot. I like it cold. So we're always up and down, up and down. I'll be right back. I'm going to cut it down.
So why did you choose to apply to Hampton University?
Okay, I chose Hampton because I refused to go to NCCU to follow my sisters. I was just so tired of being sweet little bit, Peggy's sister, and sweet little somebody else. I wanted to be my own, and I knew that I had no classmates or no friends going. I went by myself, so I was going out on my own at this time, you know. And it was difficult because during the summer, I had to make enough money to pay for my first semester. And at that time, Hampton was charging $1,000. Now, that was back in 58-62, so I had to have $500, you know, when I started. And then my oldest sister, who was a teacher, she would pay some of my second semester, and my parents would too.
So how did you feel when you first arrived on campus?
You know, I guess I was just happy to be there. Just happy to be in a different environment, away from home and on my own.
Yes. So were you involved in extracurricular activities?
There, I was in a social club. I wasn't in the band there. And I think that's about all. Did some babysitting. I guess I was more interested in trying to get money to keep myself floating rather than, and at that time, you know, if you didn't have your money at the beginning of the semester and you went to finance and said, look, my sister doesn't get paid to this time, I'll have it here by this date, and they let you register and keep going. But it's a different world.
Not now. Yeah. They put a hold on you.
There you go. There you go. They come a long way. And I guess they had to. Mm-hmm.
So what kind of classes did you take?
You know, with me being a foods and nutrition major, I had to take biology, I had to take chemistry, I had organic chemistry, I had to take accounting, and at that time I said, why do I need all of this? You know, I'm going to be a dietitian, I don't need, why do I need all this chemistry and stuff? And, you know, I was the only person in many of the classes that was not a major. You know, most of them were majoring in biology or chemistry or some kind of science-related class. And I wasn't, but I was in there with them. And, you know, the professor picked them. Let's hear from the little foods and nutrition person. So I didn't have a whole lot of choice as far as elective classes. At Hampton, everybody at that time had to take swimming. And we had to do that the first and second, you know, back, well, still, getting your hair all wet and all of that you just went for. But in order to graduate, they required folks to take swimming.
Mm-hmm. So what was your relationship like with some of your professors while you were at Hampton?
You know, in my department, I knew most of the professors and my advisor, and but in the other areas, I was just treated like the rest of the kids, you know, and there might have been 10 or 12 kids. I was just one of those. And since the other chemistry and things were not my major, you know, I didn't spend a whole lot of time in those areas, although most of those classes had lone labs, you know, associated with it. So I had to spend more time in that area to get my lab work done, but I wasn't working directly with the instructor. It was more with other students. But Hampton had some good instructors then. I will always remember my accounting instructor, because I think we went to class on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Tuesday and Thursday, we had to take, he lived on campus, he gave us homework, and we had to take our homework. He had a little box on his porch that we had to put homework in. And back then, our semester was not over until January. So during the Christmas break, we were still in the first semester. And he had us, he had a work, we had a workbook of a company that we had to debit and credit and make sure everything balanced. And that's what we had to do during the Christmas holidays. So they didn't play with us.
So what was your favorite class while you were at Hampton?
I enjoyed the foods and nutrition part because I, at that time, enjoyed cooking and thinking that dietetics would be similar to that. But, you know, in the long run, it isn't. It's a different chemistry of all its own. So I enjoyed that part. And really, when you look back on it, some of the other classes that I took, I enjoyed. One of the things that Hampton did, they had a speech pathology class, and they would, with the freshmen and everybody coming in, they would send you to a speech therapy. And at that time, I had trouble with S's, and so I had a student who worked directly with me with to help me with my speech problem.
Cool. Is that something that they did at other universities?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know at that time if Hampton was one of the few black schools that had that kind of department. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you graduated in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
So what emotions were you feeling as you were approaching graduation?
I was kind of happy to leave, enjoyed it, but you know, when it's time to go, you're ready to go. So, and when I was leaving there, with my program, you had to do a year of internship. So I had, my advisor had me to apply to different hospitals, and I was accepted at Cook County Hospital in Chicago. And so at that time, I was waiting to get a reply, you know, to see where I would go to, or if I would even be able to go, if, you know, if nobody accepted me. So I did get to go to do a year's internship at Cook County Hospital.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How was that?
Different. First of all, Chicago's different. Chicago's cold. When I got up in the summer, it felt like the winter down here, you know. And the hospital, it's a big county hospital, where sometimes they had so many patients, they had them out in the hall, you know. I think now it's probably changed, but it's still a city, a county hospital, so I'm sure you don't get the kind of care that you would get at some of the private hospitals. But as a dietitian, I was to follow doctor's orders as far as special diets were. And the place where we lived in a dorm, and it was connected to the hospital. It had a, what do you call that, a tunnel? Yeah, tunnel that you could go. And many things worked on that scale there at Cook County.
So this was during your time at Hampton?
No, I had graduated from Hampton,
okay,
so I had to do a year of internship to become a member of the American Dietetic Association, and that's the governing group of nutrition professionals.
Okay, so everybody had to do that.
Mm-hmm, if they in that, mm-hmm. But at that time, I was the only nutrition student that did an internship that year.
Okay. So what did you do after your internship?
I came back home and I got a job at UNC Hospital as a therapeutic dietitian. And I worked there 3 years and I said there must be more to it than just circling diets and visiting, you know, patients. And some of the units I just didn't like. We had a burn unit where kids and adults who had been burned were in this unit. And many of them were very uncomfortable because I'm sure as the burn was healing, it began to itch and they wanted somebody to scratch them. You know, so it was, to me, it was a very hard unit to work because of the condition of the folks that were in there. So then that's when I decided, well, I'm going to leave here and go across the street to school. Okay.
So can you tell me a little bit more about your program that you were in while you were at the School of Public Health?
Oh, okay. I was in a nutrition program. I had to go and get my, you asked me what year, I said, I don't know what year I graduated, so this was in my washroom, so I had to go get it. So I got tickled. But the School of Public Health, at that time, was a little different. Although there were 5 or 6 people in my program, the nutrition program per se, most of our classes were with the total population. We had epidemiology, we had statistics, we had public health administration. And all of those classes were with the other majors. The only thing that we had in with the 5 or 6 of us was the nutrition classes. So we didn't really spend as much time in nutrition as we did with some of the core classes. And see, it was only a year. So it's very difficult to get everything in a year.
So your whole program was a year?
Just a year.
Just a year? Mm-hmm. How many other African Americans were in the program with you?
Now, in my program, I was the only one in the foods and nutrition. But there were other African Americans in the School of Public Health. But I was just,
okay. Did you have any relationships with them?
The other blacks? I didn't. I didn't see them that much. Our schedules were just, you know, I might would see them. We had, with statistics, we had a lab that we had to go to, and with the epidemiology too. But there would be a few in there, but not that many. And then I had a family, so when I was through with that, I'm heading to pick up somebody from the daycare or something like that and coming home.
So were you able to develop relationships with your professors in that year?
With the folks in nutrition department, yeah. There, I said 4 or 5. We got us a tutor, the group of us, to help us with statistics and epidemiology. And we each paid a certain amount, and they would come and help us prepare for exams or tests or whatever. The classes were so large, they had them in the auditorium of the School of Public Health. So, and none of us really had that stronger math, and epidemiology is more looking at disease and the roadway to a certain thing and how you can come up with solutions to it. So you have to develop a certain type of skill solving to work with that. Mm-hmm.
So how did you balance having a family and going to school at the same time? Because I can only imagine.
It was hard. Now, my husband helped, but going, you know, with them being in daycare and picking them up there and coming home, getting it. So many times I tried to do all of my work while I was there. So when I did get home, I didn't have. Or if I did, I would wait until, you know, I had finished with the kids, and then I would work on homework.
Mm-hmm. So were your kids in school at the same time?
They were. The oldest one was in daycare.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you weren't in classes and you weren't with your family, what did you like to do in your free time?
I didn't have too much. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy walking. I go to the senior citizen, Seymour, about 4 days a week to exercise. And I like to read. And I like to do a Sudoku. Mm-hmm. I enjoy puzzle solving and things like that. Mm-hmm.
So, during your time at UNC, the Lenore food worker strike happened.
Okay.
Do you remember anything about that or the campus reaction?
I don't see, because that was a separate mm-hmm. part of the campus. Yeah. But there was quite a bit of racial things going on. I remember Dr. Greenberg, who taught statistics, used as an example, he said, if there was only one incubator over at UNC Hospital, and there was a black child that weighed 5 pounds, and a white child that weighed 5 pounds, who do you think would get the incubator? Well, you know the white child would. And he said, well, you're right, they would. He said, but the reason would be that black kids usually are born with lower birth weights than white kids. So although this kid weighed 5 pounds, they were identical, low birth weight was more prevalent. But I didn't believe that. I went along with it. And that was a time that there was a lot of unrest in the schools and in the community, because I know this guy from Durham who was a black militant came over and spoke at School of Public Health, and he was just talking about his struggle with with society, mm-hmm. and how difficult it had been. You know, many people think just because you grow up in Chapel Hill, you have no problems. But that's not mm-hmm. true. It gives you a false sense of security, I think. I used to have to tell my kids, they wanted to go over on campus to the black cultural, or to the student union. Mm-hmm. And I had to keep... That's for UNC students. It's not for Chapel Hill High kids. You know, your place is at either the community centers here or, you know, at home. You have no business being on UNC campus. But I think with them living in this environment, they grew up a lot faster than kids living in other areas.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the racial problems that were happening in Chapel Hill?
In the early 60s, 58, well, that's when I left, 58. So when I was in high school, we really didn't have, I mean, it was segregated. So, you know, before 58, and I don't think the schools here, they said they had been integrated for 50 years. Because they had an article in the paper, in the News and Observer, about the integration, the problems that they were having, with, like some of the black kids said the teachers wouldn't call on them. I think they had some riots and some things that went on, you know, among the kids when the schools were integrated. But before that, we were just in our little separate areas and, you know, we knew no difference.
Mm-hmm. So what was your biggest challenge at the School of Public Health?
Oh.
Or some of your challenges?
You know, one thing, when I applied to UNC, there was a girl from UNCG and me from Hampton. And they had one stipend. Mm-hmm. Now you know who got it. So that was my first encounter. We made the same grades the whole time we were there because she was in my area. But they wanted me to think, well, you know, UNCG is a much stronger school than Hampton is. And she probably has a better background than you have, which could have been, I mean, could have been true. But I would think that they would want to be changing the racial, and they would take a chance on somebody not coming from the same system. So, Ray, he's out there planning for hours. So that was my thought there. But once I was there, I had no, you know, trouble adjusting to that environment. Mm-hmm.
So what was your greatest accomplishment?
There? Mm-hmm. Graduating. Getting out. Yes. That was my greatest accomplishment there.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, back then, they were advanced in that they had computers and, you know, we did many things that I think other folks in other environments did not do. Because this was before 69, 68, and, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of computers and things like that in the outside world. Well, you were probably were not born, but we didn't, you know, so that was a, well, you know, again, that Carolina would have the best that, and they had monies and they could get funds, because there's not too many schools of public health around even today.
Yeah. So after you graduated from UNC, did you go immediately, did you get a new job after that? Where did you start to work?
I worked for the state as a nutrition consultant, and I had about, I must say, 6 or 7 counties that I had to visit to try to develop some nutrition programs, or if they had them, what could we do to improve them? Mm-hmm. So I did that for about 3 years. And then when I left there, I went to Lincoln Community Health Center, and that's where I retired from. I was there for 30 years with the WIC program.
Can you tell me more about that?
And I was going to, what you might want to do when you go back is go to the WIC website. They have WIC North Carolina, and they have Lincoln Community Health Center under that group, Wake County. All the counties in North Carolina have WIC programs now. But Lincoln was the second one, and the first one was over here in Chapel Hill, Carlborough. What do they call that now? Piedmont. Piedmont Health Center was the first. And Lincoln was the second. And I think that's it. Got my, when I was in Floyd. What that is. Must be just something. Oh, okay. Okay. I started there in 74 and retired in 2004.
This is all you.
The folks put it together for me doing that, but I thought.
So when you first got there, what was your job position?
Quick coordinator.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do?
I had to enroll people in the program. We had to get our caseload up to a certain amount. I think it was 500 then. Before we could employ another helper. So at a time there, I was the only nutritionist for the program. And then as we began to increase our enrollment, we were able to add more clerical staff and more nutritionists for it. Mm-hmm. It's changed since then, and it's good because when I was with it, we didn't have the fresh fruits and vegetables that they have now. So I think that's a good change, especially for the kids.
Mm-hmm. So with WIC, they get vouchers to mm-hmm. go to the grocery store. So mm-hmm. were you in charge of like making the list of things that they could get?
Or? We help them with that. There's a certification procedure that we had to use. And we had, let me see if I remember, when the clients came in, we had to document whether they would be eligible for the program or not. Mm-hmm. So what we had to do, and it was for children less than 5 years old. So if they were over five, you know, they didn't qualify. We knew they didn't qualify because of the age. But then they had to have nutritional risk factors, and inappropriate diet was the one that we use more with our children than anybody, any of the others. Which I could think of, low hemoglobin, hematocrit, if they were underweight, that was a criteria. Frequent colds and upper respiratory infections, if they had had pneumonia or other kind of major medical problems. If they were not growing properly, you know, we would see them every 6 months for assessment. But when I left, they were coming in every 2 months instead of every month to pick up their vouchers. And nutrition education was an important part of the certification process. And then we tried to offer it one additional time between the 6 month certification.
So what would happen during nutrition education?
Okay, what we would do is get a 24-hour dietary recall, finding out where are you now, and then what kinds of things that we can change that would improve your nutritional status. One thing I heard recently, just a few days ago, they were talking about since they had included fruits and vegetables on the programs, that the kids were now eating more of that and drinking less of the juices. And when I was there, it was juices, and they, you know, really consumed a lot, and they have quite a bit of sugar. And the fruit itself gives you so much more nutrition than just the juice that it was an improvement.
So after the nutrition education programs, would you meet with the children and the parents again to see their progress?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every 6 months they had to be reassessed.
Okay, so they would just do the same.
Uh-huh.
Were there any challenges with that?
The one thing that I had problems with is that many other parents did not take the time to prepare meals for the kids. Many of them would have oodle noodles, you know, breakfast, lunch, whatever. Ma'am, that's not a complete meal. You know, if you might want to add some vegetables and meat to that, that would make it more Because udon noodles is nothing but noodles and salt. And, you know, it's a little like the noodle soup, which is nothing, you know. But many times they would use that as a meal. And then the grandparents who were raising their grandchildren, that was a challenge because, number one, at their age, it was a more difficult kind of thing. And two, their children, the parents might have been in and out of the household, but the major responsibility was on them. And after you've raised your own children, I don't think you should have to turn around and, you know. So I had a special heart for those people because I realized that they were in a difficult situation. Then we had the breastfeeding moms, and we had a breastfeeding lactation person on staff. And at that time, we also had a breastfeeding room where moms could go. We had a recliner chair and a refrigerator down there and containers that they could put their milk in so they could go there and breastfeed, you know, if they needed to during the time that they were at Lincoln.
So were there any other programs that you were part of besides the nutrition education, or are there any held at the WIC office for mothers and children?
The health department had quite a few classes there, groups. The only other thing I was involved in would be nutrition assessment with some of the other clinics. You know, if Pete sees somebody that they want me to talk to, or if adult medicine had somebody that they thought could benefit, then I could also spend time with them.
Okay. So you were mentioning the grandparents raising children. Those were one of your challenges, dealing with them having to feed the kids and already having to raise kids. So how did you help them with those situations?
Number one, I would always tell them what a great job they were doing. And I realized the conditions that they were working under. And I would try to suggest things to them that the whole family could do rather than something just for the child that was on the program. Mm-hmm.
So what did you like most about working as a WIC coordinator?
You know, I enjoyed the people. I really did. And I've been retired for 10 years, and I still see people that remember me from the WIC. Lady, I know you. I said, yeah. Well, are you a teacher? I said, no. I work with them. Oh, that's where I know you from, Lincoln. I said, you know, I told my husband, I said, man, I've been gone a long time. But I enjoyed, you know, what I was doing. It was fun. It was, sometimes you were helping people, sometimes you were not. But that's the way life goes, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not 100% successful in anything you do. But it was a joy. The worst part of my job was getting there. I had to fight 15501 for job.
Yes.
I tell people, they say, hey, I say, oh, I'm doing great now. I'm here. And I didn't like, and I always tell my kids how I hated when the time changed. It was so depressing coming out of there when it was dark. Mm-hmm. I said, have I been in here all day? So those were the things I know.
So were there any people that you encountered over your 30 years working as a WIC coordinator that you still remember to this day? That people that were very influential to you or special to you?
There are many people that I developed a relationship with. Some of the clerical staff that worked with me, we became friends. Just because we were kind of a close-knit group. If we were getting ready for audit and we had to get things together, many of us would just stay there until we got it ready for, you know, it wasn't bets, I gotta go now. Betsy, what else do we need to do, you know? So, and I enjoyed that kind of environment. And then waiting on people. You know, people would wait until 5 minutes before you close to come. And then they said, well, you weren't supposed to close at 5 o'clock. Well, there's no way we can leave at 5, and you come in at 5 minutes to 5. But those were some of the things that would happen. That was just part of serving people. I know right now, if you go to some of the stores and you wait until they're about ready to close, you see somebody running in last minute.
In 5 minutes.
So that's just. And I think many of the clients were appreciative. They were, you know, happy to be part of it. I think they tried to use the food the best that they could. You know that we knew that it wasn't going to be used just for the child on the program. If you got more than one child and you got a jar of peanut butter, everybody's going to get a little bit, you know. And you can't blame them. I can't, anyway. But we knew that was going to happen, but at least they had it in their household and it was available to them. And then there were other folks that would sell it and use it for drugs. And I mean, you know, that's just the way the system is set up. But we were hoping that at least the majority would make a good use of it.
Did you have any memorable experiences that you still talk about with your husband?
I had a little boss. Dr. Schmidt, and she was a partner with me, and by that I mean when I was by myself and people were lying in the hall, she would come up and say, "Bet, let me help you." She said, "Look, I'll write it," and she was a doctor. She said, "You know they won't be able to understand it, but don't worry about it. Just..." you know, so she knew that I was working under extreme conditions at that time, and she would come up and try to help me, relieve me. So, you know, I was telling somebody, at least she was aware of what was going on and wanted to try to change it if she could, or to provide her assistance with the program.
So how did administration change while you were there?
Oh, you know what? I had the same boss the whole time I was there. Dr. Schmidt retired. I retired in 2004. So I'm going to say she retired, and I'm going to say 5 years after I left, so about 10. She was a good administrator, and, you know, her thing was, what have you done for me lately? So it doesn't matter what you did 15 years ago or 20 years, what are you doing now? And that's a good way. You have to be that way to run a department. You can't. I live in the past. It's going forward. Everything else is. And she had problems getting monies for, we were, now WIC was funded through USDA and also through the North Carolina Department of, I want to say Health and Human Services, Nutrition Grant, but they change all the time, so I don't, when you go to the website, it will tell you now what the department is and who's funding it. And so we didn't get any local monies. Our monies came from the feds and from the state to run that program. But Lincoln had other programs that were run by the center. And I was telling my husband, they're talking about people being audited. I said, look, we were audited by the Lincoln auditors when they came once a year. We were audited by the state. They came, if they didn't come once a year, every 2 years. And sometimes the feds would come. So, you know, there was nothing that we could do and we shouldn't have been concerned about it, but at least we had to keep decent records of who received the food, what they received, and had the receipts and the voucher numbers available of the people that did get it. And then they would match that with what we had in the computer to see, you know, if the flow was correct. So,
mm-hmm. So that's what each agency would do when they came to audit. They would look through your records.
Or they would ask us to, like, some would say, just let me see your books for September. And they would go through that, and if they need vouchers and things like that, we would pull them. They would tell us what they wanted, and we would go and pull it for them. And then if everything was all right in that month, they might do another one. But if they found problems, then they were going to continue through many of your months to see if that was a consistent kind of thing that was happening. Okay.
So what does your husband do?
He is retired also, but he did work for the town of Chapel Hill.
Okay.
He was the building inspector there. And I guess he was there for over 30 years or more.
Okay, so both of you were with your jobs for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So did you ever think of doing anything else while you were working?
I enjoyed that kind of work that I was doing at Lincoln. And I enjoyed the people that worked there and the clients, you know. So it was, to me, it was a environment that I enjoyed being in. I often tell people when the folks from the School of Public Health would come, some of our clients would always fight during the time. I had to call security, come to it, security. And they would look at me like, Betsy, how can you stay in this environment? But it never failed. Let me have some company.
So are you still connected with the people that you went to graduate school with?
No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. There was I had one friend that was in Virginia, Jean Scotland, and at one of the meetings that I attend, she and I had lunch together. But the other folks, I don't know where they are.
So the people that visited you at your job, from the School of Public Health, were they people that you were friends with?
Or? No, they were people in the nutrition department that wanted their students to see the WIC program.
Okay.
So they would bring some of them over, and you know, I would talk with them and take them up in the area where we worked and issued vouchers and did nutrition ed and just the flow of the patients from one area to another. Yeah, but they were just getting experience or wanting their students to see what a WIC program looks like.
Oh, okay, so it was just like an educational experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they came for.
Did you do anything like that while you were in graduate school?
They didn't have anything like that. Yeah, they only started that, what did I say? That was in 74. Is it right there on that? Yeah, when I started that. They just started it.
So you didn't take any field trips at all?
No.
Okay.
I don't think, we might have gone to Raleigh to the state office. We did internship kind of things, and I was stationed with the one in Raleigh, so I worked with the nutritionists, dietitians coming out of there.
Okay, so it was like a mentor program?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
How was the experience?
It was all right. They went to different health departments, and some of them would have programs that they were doing in the community, and I would go with them and observe, you know, their actions and things.
Mm-hmm. So are there any lasting words that you would like to say? Any words of wisdom or advice?
I think it's important that you find something that you enjoy doing. And as they say, it's not going to be more like work. It's something that, you know, if you can come home with a smile on your face or go to work, be happy to see the folks and, you know, do what. And, you know, in the long run, people will appreciate it. And they can tell when you're sincere.
Thank you so much.
Sure.